you got your Bibles in Genesis chapter 35, if you would stand with me. We ain't on no time limit anyway, are we? Amen. Is this thing even on? Genesis chapter number 35, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him, when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under the oak, and the name of it was called Allenbacuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I stand here, Lord, realizing, Lord, that I can do nothing, Lord, that's apart from you. And God, I realize this morning where I stand, God, I need you. Lord, I pray for these people, Lord, each one of them. I thank you, God, for their taking the time out to come to church this morning to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do just that. I pray, God, for the next few minutes, Lord, you'd help us from your word. I pray, God, you'd give us something that would help us along our way. I pray, God, for those that aren't saved. Lord, I pray for them to realize that they need to be born again. And I pray, God, for those that are saved. Lord, those that have been saved know they've been saved, but Lord, over time they've grown cold. Lord God, over time they've got away from you, and Lord, their fellowship's been broken. Lord, their fellowship with you is strained. God, I pray, God, you'd work in their hearts this morning. God, I pray you'd have your will and way. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd do the work that only you could do. God, I pray you'd be pleased in all that's said and done this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. In Genesis chapter number 28, you'll find that this man Jacob, y'all know Abraham, Isaac, and then Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was the trickster. Jacob was the one who tricked his brother out of the birthright, out of the inheritance. And Jacob, in chapter number 28, Jacob's on the run, and he meets the Lord at a place called Luz. And the Bible says in Genesis 28, verse 16 through 22, talked about how Jacob met the Lord there, and he called the name of the place Bethel. And he called the name of that place Bethel because he said he met God there. And at Bethel, Jacob made some vows. In Genesis 28, verse number 20, the Bible said Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And he said, And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all of that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So in Genesis 28, Jacob meets God, and Jacob has an encounter with God. And Jacob make some vows to God, and he calls the place there Bethel. The word Bethel means the house of the Lord. And so Jacob there, he realized that he met God Almighty there at this place, Luz, but he changed the name of it and called it Bethel. And so he made some vows there. He made some commitments there. That's where he met the Lord, and he vowed himself that he was going to walk with God, and that he was going to be with God, and that he was going to give a tenth of everything that he had to God. He made some vows there. Then in chapter 29, if you look at the very next verse, the very first verse of Genesis chapter 29, the Bible says, as soon as he made this vow, Genesis 29 says, then Jacob went on his journey, came into the land of the people of the east. Now that's the people in the east. You have studied that, but you know, y'all know where the east is over in eastern lands. And probably biblical scholars tell us a place called Haran's where he was headed. But the Bible says it's very interesting that as soon as he made this vow, as soon as he came to the place Bethel, as soon as God met with him there, as soon as he started his walk with God, then he went on his journey. Not God's journey, but he went on his journey. In Genesis chapter 29, verse 1, Jacob, after he met the Lord, he began walking the wrong way. Can I say there's a lot of people that you've had a Bethel experience. You've trusted the Lord. There's no doubt you've been saved. There's no doubt in your life, in your mind, that you've had a time and a place where you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it that you've been born again. And you know that. But since then, there's come a Genesis 29:1 where you started walking on your journey. You started doing it your way. You started, not looking to the Lord, not looking to His Word, not listening to His commands and His obeying His voice. But now you're doing it your way. You're walking your way. There's been a time of Genesis 20. You started walking your journey. Then in Genesis chapter 31, in verses 11 through 13, God comes to Jacob once again, and He calls him back, and He tells him, in Genesis chapter 31, verses 11 through 13, God's calling him back. The angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and he said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which sleep upon the cattle, are ring straight, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. And watch verse 13 of Genesis 31. 31, I am God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou bowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. God's calling Jacob back. God says, Jacob, look up in here. You met me at Bethel, but you've been walking your way. You're down here in the house of Laban. You're supposed to be at the house of God. He said, I want you to come back to Bethel. But old Jacob's got to do it his own way some more. And Jacob goes through some hardships. He goes through some times. And I'll tell you what he's doing, like a lot of Christian people. They've been saved, but they're doing it their own way, and they're making a wreck and a havoc of their life. Look up in here. You can live your life the way you want to. God will not bless your disobedience. Jacob's living a life of partial obedience. He began to obey God, but then he shortly thereafter went on his journey. Then in chapter 34, you find where really there's a mess in his life. There's a mess in his family. Man, his daughter's taken advantage of by another man that's not of their people. And then his two of his sons trick the people of that city, and they go out and kill all the men over their sister Dinah. And it's a mess. And in Genesis chapter 34, man, if you look there at the end of the chapter, Jacob is scared for his own life, and not only his own life, but in the verse of 30, he said, they'll gather against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed. And he said, I and my house. Jacob in Genesis chapter 34 has made such a wreck of his life that he's afraid that he's going to be killed, and not only he's going to be killed, but all of his house. Now, when he understands, when he talks about his house, he's talking about, yes, his wives and his wife and his children. He's talking about the people that directly in his house. But not only that, he's also talking about all of his servants, all of their family. Man, you're talking about people that in that day, man, when he went to travel, man, he had hundreds of sheep and oxen and different kind of cattle and different kind of herds. And he had all kinds of people there working for him. That was considered part of his house. And Jacob was scared because of his sin and because of his disobedience that got him to the place in Genesis chapter 34. It was a desert place. It was a wrecked place. It was a place of barrenness. It was a place of no joy. It was a place, look up here, of heartache and woe and misery. No joy, no happiness, no fulfillment in Genesis 34. And he's scared and afraid for his own life, and not only for his life, but for the people around him. But then in Genesis chapter 35, God comes to him. His life's a mess. He's afraid for his safety. But hey, and I'm telling you, that's a result of incomplete disobedience. Jacob has gotten away from God. He's began to dabble in idolatry down here in the house of Laban. He's began to dabble in things that are not God's way. He's wandered far away from God. But now God says, will you come home? Let me ask you a question. In your life this morning, do you remember better days? Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember when you were so in love with Jesus that you couldn't help but shout when somebody said, Jesus loves me, this I know? Do you remember days when you just couldn't wait to get to the church house? Do you remember days when you couldn't wait to sing the hymns of Zion? Do you remember days when you couldn't wait to pick up your Bible and read it? Do you remember days when you couldn't wait to go to revival services? Do you remember days that were better in your Christian life? Do you remember days when you had days of devotion, days of time where you spent in prayer and in Bible reading, days of sweet communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember those days? You remember how when you first got saved, you couldn't wait to get back to church, but after a period of time, it seems like it just grows cold. After a period of time, you think, well, I've got a ball game tonight. Well, this is coming on TV. Well, this is coming up. Well, my family's coming over. Well, I can do this. Well, I can do... And that seems like over a period of time, you grow cold. You grow... It grows old to you. Hey, can I ask you a question? Are you living off past memories? There's a lot of people in the church this morning that's living off past memories. They're thinking about how God used to work and how God used to be and how it used to be at the church and how good it used to be and how God used to bless and how people used to get saved and how sweet it used to be and how about the service we used to have. Can I say it don't have to be the God of the used to be? He's the God of the right now. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Amen. And He's calling you back home. Do you remember these days, better days? Hey, but now it's dull, it's dusty, it's dead. You're unfaithful, you're unsatisfied, you're unhappy, you're unfulfilled. Hey, can I say to you this morning, God may have you here this morning and He may be calling you back to Him this morning. Can I say God's a God of the second chance? God's a God of the third chance? God's a God of the fourth chance? Now I'm saying this morning, God's a God that allows you to do a U-turn in life. You could be going on your journey. You could be walking in the wrong direction. You could have left Bethel. You could have got away from the place where you met Him. But I'm saying if you're going the wrong way and you can't find no satisfaction, and you won't. And you can't find no fulfillment, and you won't. Hey, and you can't find no happiness, and you won't. Look up to here. God will allow you to do a U-turn and come back to Bethel. And that's what He says here in Genesis 35. He says to Abraham or to Jacob, He said, hey Jacob, get up and come back to Bethel. Amen. That's what He says. Wow. There's a command here in Genesis 35:1. He's already told him in chapter 31, but now He says in chapter 35, verse 1, He says, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make there an altar unto God. God's not happy for you just to meet Him and leave. God wants you to dwell there. Are you with me? Dwell there. Hey, there's a command. The command is arise, go to Bethel, dwell there, make there an altar. Here it is this morning. Here's the command. Can I say Jacob heard this command? This command, number one, had to be heard. He had to listen. He had to listen to this command. Not only that, hey, you've got to hear. You've got to be in church. You've got to be in the Word of God. You're going to hear the voice of the Lord. Hey, if you're saved this morning, God's trying to call you. You're not where you're supposed to be. He's calling you back. He wants you to experience those good days. He wants you to be in the sweet communion. He wants you to be close to Him. He wants you close to Him. He wants you to be a testimony. He wants you to know the Spirit-filled life. He wants you to know what it's like to live a life that's fulfilled, a life, hey, that's got purpose, a life that's got meaning, a life that brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, a life that brings glory and not only glory to Him, but shines a testimony to the world about He wants you to experience that. Yes, good neighbors, but you've got to listen to His voice. This command's got to be heard, but not only this, not only was the command heard, but the command was heeded. Yeah, old Jacob said, I've got to get up. He said, there's got to be some changes made. He heeded the command. He heeded it. Not only that, he honored the command. He got up there to Bethel. He built him an altar. And he worshiped the Lord. Hey, God's speaking to you today. God's speaking to you through His Word. It's got to be heard. It's got to be heeded. And it's got to be honored. I want to show you some things about this place where God called Jacob back to Bethel. He's calling him, it's a call to revival, if you will. He's calling him back to the place. See, in Genesis 28, he made vows. It's been some 20 years now. Some 20 years from Genesis 28 to Genesis 35. 20-some years. Now, not only that, for the last 10 years,
He's been down here about 30 miles from Bethel. 30 miles is not a long way. Amen? 30 miles is not too far. But for 10 solid years, Jacob lived about 30 miles from the will of God. Can I say to you, that's a sad state. But can I say to you, there's a lot of Christians that are living the same way today. They're close, but hey, like the old saying say, close, but no cigar. Amen? They're close. They can see it. They can smell it. They can see everybody else there, but they're not there. Man, I can imagine 30 miles away. I can imagine he got news of what was going on at Bethel. I can imagine he heard about what was going on at the house of God. I can imagine that old Jacob heard the news when something good would happen. I can imagine that people would come by and say, oh, you should have been there. But Jacob wasn't there. I'm telling you, hey, this morning, you don't have to wonder what it could be like. You don't have to worry about what it would be like. You don't have to remember what it used to be like. You can know it today. You can get up and go back to Bethel today. Today, you don't have to keep walking in misery. You don't have to keep walking in endless defeat. You don't have to keep walking in misery and woe. You can get up and come to Bethel today. And that's what God says. So here's the command. Let me give you some things about this place, Bethel. Number one, I want to say there was a reminding there. There was a reminding there. He would say, what are you talking about? Well, look in verse 1. God said unto him, Jacob, rise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Number one, we'll say he's reminding him of the place. I remember he says, hey, this is the place, boys. Hey, he said, Jacob, this is the place where you went when you was running from Jacob, from Esau. Y'all remember the story, man? Esau was going to kill him, his brother. And while Esau was chasing and looking for Jacob, God intervened, and God came down, and Jacob had an encounter there with God Almighty. And God said, hey, Jacob, go back to Bethel. And just in case you don't remember where Bethel is, that's the place where you met me. He's reminding him of the place. But now I'm going to tell you one thing. You might forget a lot of things. You may forget a lot of people. You may forget a lot of times. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll never forget the place where you met the Lord. You'll never forget the place you got a divine encounter with an almighty, holy God. And Jacob, hey, God's calling him back. He's reminding him of the place. Bethel, Jacob named that place. It used to be called Luz, L-U-Z. Luz, it used to be called Luz. But hey, when Jacob left there, he called it Bethel. He said, this is the house of God. Jacob said, I have seen God. And he said, I'm calling this place Bethel. That's the house. That's where I met God. And God said, hey, Jacob, go back to Bethel, that place. He reminded him of the place, but not only that, he reminds him of the person. Watch what he says. He said, and dwell there and make an altar unto God that appeared unto thee. It wasn't just the place that was special. It was the person that Jacob met there that was special. Hey, he met God there. Can I say, hey, you may forget geographically. Hey, you may forget the town. You may forget certain things. Hey, but you'll never forget God. If you've forgotten God, let me say good number, you've never been saved. You say, well, I don't have a place. I don't have a person I met. That'd be a good time to check up and see if I'm saved. It's a good indication that you're not. Now, I told you about Genesis 31, 11 through 13. We read that just a few minutes ago where God called Jacob and told him to come back to Bethel. That's where he wanted him. He wanted him at Bethel to be there. Can I say, God is reminding him and he's telling him, hey, Jacob, go back to Bethel. Go back there and see God. He's telling him, look, here's what he's saying. Jacob, you've went a long way down the road. You've spent a lot of wasted years. You've wasted a lot of time. You've been in the wrong place. You were close, but not close enough. Hey, Jacob, he said, listen, you can go to the same place. You can meet the same God. All you got to do is go back to Bethel. He said at the same place, the same God's going to be there waiting on us. Can I help you this morning? If you've wandered far away from God, if you're not as close as you used to be, if you're not where you ought to be, and you know you don't know the sweetness of a fellowship with the Lord, hey, can I help you this morning being real nice this morning? But God hadn't moved a bit. He's just exactly where you left Him. Amen? And He's got open arms like the prodigal son. He's open arm, and He'll come running down the road looking for you. Come on back home. Come home. Come home. He desires you to come back. He told Jacob, he said, go back to Bethel.
go to Bethel. So he's it's a reminding place. Hey, can you remember times gone by, how good it used to be? I mean, times before whatever's in your life now that's hindering it. Man, I'm telling you what, there's some reminding there. He's reminding him of the place. He's reminding him of the person. Let me say, not only there's a reminding, but let me say, there's a repenting there. A repenting. Watch verse number 2. Then Jacob said to his household, and all that were with him. It's amazing here, just to give you a little side note, Jacob took responsibility. Men, hey, men, it wasn't mama's responsibility. It was daddy's. Jacob took responsibility, and he said to his household, he didn't take a boat with his family. He didn't take a boat with his household. No, he said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean. Change your garments. Let us arise and go to Bethel. And I'll make there an altar unto God. I'm telling you, there's a repenting there. Watch. You say, repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart that results in a change of action. Jacob got, when God called out to him this time, Jacob got sick and tired of doing it his way. He got sick and tired of his journey, going the wrong way, making a mess of his life. He realized in chapter 34 he's about to die. Somebody's about to kill him. He realized he's done made a wreck of his life. He needed God. And so now he says, I'm going to rise. He says, his family, get up, let's go. Get ready, we're going. That's repentance. We're not going our way anymore. We're going to go God's way. We're not supposed to be down here in the house of Laban. That's not where God told me to dwell. God told me to go to Bethel and dwell. So it's about time we get up, our family, our household, and let's go to Bethel. It's a repenting there. Hey, we see his responsibility. We see his leadership. But let me show you what this repentance involved. Let me say one thing. It kind of reminds me of the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter number 2. When Jesus talked to the church of Ephesus, he told them to remember their first love. He said, remember. And then he told them to repent. And then he told them to repeat and do what they used to do. And he said, if you don't, he said, there's going to be a removal. He said, I'm going to remove your candlestick. I'm telling you, the message of God to all people is the same. Hey, if you're not right with God, remember what it used to be like. Hey, repent of where you've went wrong and get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's the message. That's repentance. Somebody asked Billy Sunday one time. Billy Sunday, that great Presbyterian preacher in years gone by. Somebody said, Brother Sunday, why do you always preach on revivals? They never last. He said, why do you keep taking baths? I've heard preachers say, we won't have revivals. People get up and they get all excited and they're walking with God and they're faithful for 3 months and then they go back to the same old. So we're not going to have revival. No, have another revival. Vance Abner said, revival is the church just falling in love with Jesus all over one more time. Here's what revival included. Watch verse number 2. Put away the strange gods. Their deities were cast away. Put away your strange gods. You remember, if you know this story back in Genesis 31, when Jacob's wife was leaving, she went and got her daddy's little idols and packed them away. You know why? Because they were worshiping them. There were things in their life that was not of God, and God did not want them there. And Jacob said, put away your strange gods. Let me ask you this morning. You may not have a little idol. I mean, you might not have a little statue. But what is it that's keeping you from worshiping God? Look in verse 4. He says he gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. I'd hate to think that my God was so small I could carry it in my hand. I don't know. I'm just. The Lord showed me this morning while I was even reading this morning that the gods were in their hand. I hate to say it, but there's a lot of Christians this morning that got gods in their hands. Might be a pocketbook. Might be a computer. Might be a fishing pole.
Might be a radio. Might be a remote. Hello, Tokyo. We want God to bless. We want, the joy of God. But we've got so many things in our hands. It's amazing to me sometimes, Brother Dennis, that it seems like the more God blesses us, it seems the more we get away from God. Seems like the blessings, sometimes they become cursings because they rob us of the joy. They rob us of the fellowship. Because we can't come to church because all the stuff in our hands. He said, cast away them. Get rid of your deities. Deities, little gods. Things you worship. Things that take you away from the true God. He said, put away the strange gods that are among you. And watch this. Let me just add this. 1 John 5:21, little children, keep thyselves from idols. Say, what's an idol? I'll tell you what an idol is. An idol is anything in your heart that takes the place of God Almighty. Anything. And then he says, watch this. Not only did their deities need to be cast away, but their dirtiness needed to be cleansed. Watch what he said in verse 2, right out of the Bible. Put away your strange gods among you and be clean. Be clean. The idea is they were dirty. They were dirty. Can I say to you, nothing will, just like physically, how many of y'all, had a bath this morning? Amen? A shower, something. You got cleaned up before you came to church. How many of y'all would like to go out throughout the whole work week and then come to church and never took a bath? Amen. I'm glad. Thank God for the running water. Amen. But the idea, in these days, they didn't have running water. In these days, he said, be clean. Be clean. We look at the physical and we look at the dirt that gets on our hands, but what about the spiritual? What about as we go through this life and as we go through the life when we live, even as Christians, we touch things every day and we see things and sometimes you can avoid them, sometimes you can't. And we get dirty. We get dirty from rubbing up against things in this world. We get dirty from just being in this world. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me. Psalm 23, we like the Lord's shepherd, but in Psalm 24, the very next chapter, he said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. James talked about, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Cleanse them. I'm telling you what, God wants us to be clean. Sometimes you can't help it. But I'm going to tell you what, as Christians, we need to get back to living lives that are clean. And when we get messed up, you need to confess. You need to get cleaned up. Amen? Amen? If 1 John 1:9, amen? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. All unrighteousness. He's a cleansing God. But you've got to get clean. Problem with us, we're not going to get clean. We're so much in the world that we don't want out of the world. It's going to be hard for us to take a bath. And then he says, not only this, he says the deities need to be cast away, dirtiness needs to be cleansed, but he said dress needs to be changed. Watch verse 2. Be clean, and he said, and change your garments. In other words, he said, change clothes. Their clothes, something was wrong with their clothes. Was it because of the dirtiness? Was it because it was the wrong kind of clothes? He said, be clean and change your garments. Can I say there's a lot of churches that need some people to put on some clothes. I don't know about changing. They need to put some on. I don't care if it's summertime or not summertime. Modest is still modest, amen. And ladies, when you go to the bathroom, they still make the thing that looks like a dress for ladies and the thing that... That's the world. That's the world standard now. That's not even the church. Go to a public restroom and you know which one's for ladies and which one's for men. Amen. So when you come to the church, don't be surprised when we ask the ladies to wear dresses. Amen. But anyway, he says, change your garments. Change your garments. Isaiah 61, he talks about put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen? There's a lot of people that you can't put on the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness because you're so weighted down with sin, hey, that you don't know how to have praise. You don't know how to rejoice. Then he says, hey, God had clothed me with the garments of salvation and covered me with the robe of righteousness. Can I say that's what we need to do today? We need to get up. We need to cast away the old gods, those little deities. We need to get cleaned of our dirtiness, and we need to change our dress. We need to quit walking around in our own filthiness and our own sin and our own wickedness, and we need to put on the holiness and the righteousness of God. Hey, you need to put off the old man and put on the new. Let me say this. Distance was being created. Look in verse 4. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Now, I don't understand the part about the earrings. From everything I read, those earrings had something to do with pagan worship and with the occultic practices that they were around. But for some reason, there was something to do with those earrings that wasn't right. It wasn't just a common little earring like a decorative thing. But in that day, it was something that was linked to pagan worship. And so he said, watch now. He didn't just say, take them and throw them away. He said, he took all the gods in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears, and he hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Can I say, you say, well, were they hiding them? No, they weren't hiding them to come back and get them later. They were burying them to forget them. And I'm telling you, that's what a lot of Christians need to do. You come to an altar and you say, God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. I want to be in fellowship. I want to be back with you. I want to be where I ought to be. And you get up and you go home and you do the same thing you did before you came to the altar. It's time that we get up, that we go back, hey, that we take it off, hey, the old garments, and put on some new garments of praise, hey, and of righteousness. And it's time that we get clean. And it's time that we take the things that were defiling us and the things that were hindering our fellowship and bury them and throw them away, never to be dug up again.
Distance being created by burying those things which were hindering them. Let me say this, not only repenting, but there was a returning. Hey, back to the place. Verse number 6, he says, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. That is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. He and all the people that were with him. Back in verse 3, he said, I'll rise, let us arise and go up to Bethel. If you look in verse 5, you understand there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that say, well, I used to walk with God. Listen closely now, please listen. There's a lot of people say, I used to be with God. I used to have fellowship with God, but I've gotten so far away from Him. And I want to get back, and I'd love to get back, but all these other people are going to nag me. All these other people are going to drag me down. Nobody's going to understand. They're going to attack me. They're going to come out. Wait a minute. Understand now, in Genesis 34, hey, Jacob's scared he's going to be killed. But in Genesis 35, he says, I'm going back to Bethel. Look in verse 5. It's interesting to me. And they journeyed. The terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. You understand now, if you go back and read chapter 34, they wanted to kill Jacob and his sons. But God protected Jacob and his family as long as they were doing His will. Amen. Can I say to you this morning, there is protection and provision in the will of God. If you'll get right with God this morning, you don't have to worry about who's going to come and attack you. I'm telling you, if you want to obey God, you want to do the will of God, God will protect you and He'll empower you and strengthen you to do what's right. But you're going to have to return back to the place. It was a given place. It was revealed to them by God. He said the place that God told him. He went back to Bethel. Not only that, but it was a God place. Bethel, the house of God. It was a given place. It was revealed. It was God's place. It was the right place. Amen. You can't say, well, I'm going to get over here close. Hey, he was 30 miles away. He wasn't that far away. Hey, he had to get to Bethel, the right place. God's got a place for you. Close to Him. Let me say, not only was there a returning, but let me say this, there was a rebuilding. Verse number 7, and I'm hurrying. Verse number 7, it says, he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. El Bethel. Bethel was the house of God. If you put El in front of it, that is the God of the house of God. El is a Hebrew word for God.
And so he's nailed. He calls it not only the house of God, but he calls it the God of Bethel. The God of the house of God. And there, hey, what did he do? He built an altar. He comes there and he's going to build an altar there. And let me say, he's rebuilding an altar. He's showing some things. He's showing, number one, he's showing obedience. In Genesis 33:20, he done built an altar somewhere else where God didn't ask him to build an altar. God wanted Jacob in Bethel. God don't want you to offer sacrifices somewhere else. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God wanted him in Bethel. So he comes back to Bethel, and there God's speaking to him again. And he says, this is El Bethel. Not only the God of Bethel, or the house of the Lord, but it's now the God of the house of the Lord. And he built an altar there. And in verse number 7, he's building this altar, and he calls it El Bethel. And he's showing a couple of things. Let me just give you a couple of them. He's showing, number one, obedience. Obedience, because this is where God wanted him. This is what God told him to do. He's not going to start out halfway. He's going all the way this time. He's showing obedience. Then he is showing sacrifice. He's showing the will. What do you build an altar for? You build an altar to put a sacrifice to God on it. You build an altar so something can die. So he's showing a surrendered, obedient action. And then let me say this. He's showing worship. An altar is a place of worship. And so he's ready to rebuild. And let me say, when Jacob gets to this point, he's repenting, he's returning, he's rebuilding. Let me say, that was a refreshing and a reassuring. Look with me in verse number 9. He's building this altar, and in verse number 9, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. Blessed him. In verse 10, God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Jacob, the name there, is the word means to be a trickster or a supplanter. And everywhere Jacob went in his life, that's what he was known as, a trickster. He's a supplanter. He's the one that deceived his brother and tricked him. But God said, Jacob, that's your name. He said, but I'm not going to call you Jacob anymore. He said, I'm going to call you Israel. Your name's now not Jacob, your name's Israel. Israel means God prevails or a prince with God. He changed his name from a trickster that nobody could trust to now he's one who prevails with God. He gives him a new name. Somebody said new blessings come with new revelation of God's character. It's interesting here in this verse that God comes to him in verse 11 and he says, I am God Almighty. Before, he had been known as Elohim, God, a pluralistic name, God. But now he says, I am God Almighty. That is the word El Shaddai. I am the Almighty, all-powerful God. And he said, Jacob, I'm here to refresh you. I'm here to reassure you. I'm here to show you that, hey, you're doing the right thing. You're going the right way. You've come to the right place. You've rebuilt the right altar. We're doing it right. And I'm going to refresh you. I'm going to give you some renewing. He said, here's your new name. And he said, here's some new promises. Not only did he give him a new name, but he renewed the promises of Abraham and Isaac to this Jacob. And he says, here's some promises in verse number 11. He said, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And he said, in the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Here we find that God renewed the promises to Jacob of the lineage and of the land. God said, Jacob, hey, you're getting right with me. You come back to Bethel now. He said, look, hey, I'm going to give you the same promise. I'm going to renew it with you just like I did Abraham and Isaac. He said, listen, I'm going to bless your seed. Your lineage is going to go on and be a great nation. He said, I'm going to give you the land where you're walking. God's blessing him. I'm telling you what, obedience brings blessing. God will never bless partial disobedience, but God will bless total obedience. Come back to Bethel. That's what he's saying. Come back to Bethel. He said, I've got blessings for you. Jacob would have never experienced these blessings down at the house of Laban. He had to come back to the house of God, back to the place where he met God. And when he got there, he said, not only is the house of God, but he said, now I see the God of the house of God, the Almighty God, the all-powerful God. How should I? He gave him a new promise. He gave him new names. And let me say this. When Jacob got there,
He was refreshed. He was reassured. And he was renewed. And let me say this. There was a remembering. There was something about this place Jacob wanted to remember. In verses 14 and 15, Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him. Even a pillar of stone. Can I say, number one, let me just say something about this. Hey, when he came there, he set up this pillar publicly. And he set up this pillar permanently. And then the Bible says that he poured drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Worship was restored. He came there pouring out the oil, pouring it out, the drink offering, pouring it out. It's a picture of a poured out life. It's a picture of surrender. God, here I am. I'll pour it all out to you. Not part of it. I'll pour it all on the altar of sacrifice. Here it is, God. It's all. And so it's a picture of surrender, worship. Then we see that not only worship was restored, but fellowship was rekindled. Because he met God there. God spake with him. Fellowship was there. And he called it Bethel. Because the house of God was now remembered. He put this pillar up there publicly and permanently. So, hey, this right here is the place where I'm getting close to God. This right here is the place. And I don't want to forget this place. I don't want to forget it. I don't ever want to get over this experience. I don't ever want to get past the point, hey, of getting close to God and experience that fellowship and that renewed promises and the renewed experience of walking close to Him. I don't ever want to get that. He says, well, I'm putting up a pillar here. And not just a pillar of rocks, but a pillar of stone. Something that'll stay here. Something that's gonna last. Something that, hey, when Jacob got to thinking about going on his own journey, he could turn around and remember what happened there. He could remember the experience. And let me say to you this morning, I want you to think back to the time when Jesus saved your soul. I want you to think about the joy that you had when you gave it all to Him. I want you to think about the joys that you've known in serving the Lord Jesus. I want you to think about this morning how good it used to be. And let me ask you a question. Where are you today? And if you're not where you used to be, or even better, let me ask you this. Do you want to be? Do you want to be? And I'm going to say this to you because this morning, He's calling you back. He's calling you back to the fellowship. He's calling you back to joy. He's calling you back to Jesus. He's calling you back to Bethel. He's calling you back to the place where it all began. He wants you to repent. He wants you to get up. He wants you to come back to Bethel. He wants you to rebuild your altar. And He wants you to know that there's still joy in serving Jesus. Hey, mom, dad, boys, girls, hey, there's some people here that need to get up. And they need to come to an old-fashioned altar. And they need to rebuild their altar. They need to say, God, I got right with You one time. I know I'm saved. I've wandered far away from You. But now I'm coming home. God, I want that fellowship. God, I want that joy. God, I want to be. And God say, look, if you'll just get up, clean up, hey, and dress up, come on back and build an altar. Hey, we'll get together and have a time. And God saying, come on back to Bethel. Come on back to Bethel. Hey, can I say to you, there's still joy in serving Jesus. When we come back to Bethel this morning, maybe you're sitting here this morning, you say, I've never known that. I've never been to Bethel. I've never had that experience. Can I say to you this morning, if you're not saved, this morning would be a good time for you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You can meet God. This can be your Bethel. This can be the first time you met God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved this morning, I want you to know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're not saved this morning, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, that He was buried according to the Scriptures, and that He rose again the third day. And He did it for you because He loved you and He wanted to save you from your sin. This can be your Bethel, but to the Christian that has been saved, but you're not where you ought to be, you're not where you used to be, God's calling you back. Come back to Bethel. Would you come back to Bethel this morning? Would you want to get close to God? Would you want to get back to that place? The pianist is coming. She's going to begin to play. Search your heart this morning. Are you where you used to be? Are you where you ought to be? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice lay? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You only know peace. My. When your all on the altar is laid. Would you come back to Bethel this morning? Would you get back to where God wants you? Say, preacher, I'm close. Jacob was close. He was 30 miles from the house of God. 10 years. 10 long, miserable years. Can I say there's probably nobody in this world any more miserable than the person that knows they're saved, but know they're not right where they're supposed to be? You'll never know joy. You'll never know peace. You'll never know contentment and fulfillment until you get back to the place where you ought to be with God. You come back to Bethel. The pianist is playing. We're standing up all across the auditorium with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart this morning,